This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 25 for Wednesday, November 14th, 2012. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network. Welcome. This is the...
You didn't even wait. You're like preempting my little surprise.
It's a preemptive strike.
Wow. I was just going to say... On Sunday, it'll be our 26th episode, like half a year.
Half a year, yeah, absolutely. Wow. This is the Columbus, Ohio Pen Show edition.
Awesome. So anything with Pen Show in it is amazing.
It is.
Brian's still on cloud nine.
I am. I'm actually thinking about the next show because we have.
No.
We have to wait 2 whole months before the next show.
But we have so much other stuff to do. I got to cook a bird. I got to wrap presents.
I know.
Yay. January is going to come way too fast.
It is. It's going to be here before you know it. And then January 11th, 10th, 11th, or whenever we're leaving, it's going to be. Yeah. So anyway, let's do a play-by-play for those that could not attend. And of course, we start out on Wednesday.
Yep. Wednesday, we had packed most everything. So Wednesday was dragging everything out of the pen room, which is kind of sad because it's so beautiful, and packing up the car. We were up at, what, 5?
Yeah, 5 o'clock in the morning, yep.
5 o'clock in the morning so that I could drive Brian to work and then come back and do everything that is involved on the day we leave. And then I picked up Brian after work. And we drove for a little bit, and then we decided to stop for dinner. We were both kind of craving, we have a couple things that we kind of stick to, and we were both craving Wendy's spicy chicken, which we really like. Brian is usually very easy to live with. He's very easygoing when it comes to food.
Usually? And he's wow.
And, you know, he's never embarrassing. He's you know, just... perfect, except in Wendy's.
it was just this one time.
I know. But he decided he wanted just his spicy chicken sandwich with just cheese and bacon, right? But no. There was a trainee.
Yeah, we had a manager had to come and void the order. Chaos ensued.
The trainee got nervous because she didn't know how to make it plain and then add stuff. And I wasn't sure what we were going to get.
I mean, come on. Doesn't that sound like a great combination? Spicy chicken, a piece of cheese, 3 pieces of bacon. I mean, that sounds amazing.
It does. But the poor trainee was like, you know, she knows what button to press for a burger.
Well, you know.
Or, you know, the sea salt fries. This whole, like, complicated order, because you also wanted a Frosty instead of a drink, which, I mean, yeah. Come on, well, you should get. But then they were out. Was this where they were out of the
chocolate? No, that was the next time. we'll save that for the next one.
Wendy's, we love you, but you kind of failed.
Yeah, so after we got past that...
It's always entertaining. Always life entertaining. With us is never dull.
The drive was actually pretty easy. About 9.5 hours, give or take. No drama, no bad weather. No. We got into Dublin, Ohio around, was it about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Our hotel is right down the street from where the show was at. I mean, it's literally, you can throw a rock.
Next door.
And, yeah, it's next door. And so... we got in, hoping that maybe we could get in and get a couple hours of sleep, but they were sold out.
So, no go.
So we, and I think the show opened at 8.
Yeah.
So we ended up sleeping in the car in the parking lot.
I don't know that I would call it sleep.
Yeah, that's kind of a relative term, but like every about 30, 45 minutes, we'd have to turn the car on to get some heat because it was so cold. So for those of you who think that, you know, the life on the road is like living like rock stars, it's, well, not.
Well, maybe beginning rock stars.
So Thursday morning, we finally get over there, and I had a nice slow setup, and we had two tables to contend with, since you get essentially half your tables that you pay for on Thursday. You get half of them. We were right next to Stuart Hawkinson, and I had essentially pre-ordered some tools from him, and he had to make them before he got to the show for me. So I spent money before we even made a dime. I was spending money with Stuart, some 51 Demi and Parker 61 cap mandrels, a snorkel tool, and some brushes, and a bunch of things. Always glad to get stuff from him. He makes some of the best tools. Thursday was, everybody was in the small trading room. A few weekend traders there for some variety. It wasn't real busy, but there were some deals to be had. Who was across from us there for a while? His name escapes me. Older collector, but boy, when he sat down, he opened up. People rushed over to his table, like.
It wasn't Dick Johnson, was it?
Yeah, it was. I think it was Dick.
Okay.
Yeah, he gets there and he's unpacking, and everybody swarmed over to the table. It was crazy.
Like chumming for sharks or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, the nice thing is that when Brian buys tools, it doesn't count towards the pen budget. That's like a whole separate budget. So.
Yeah.
He gets stuff, and it doesn't count against his budget for the weekend. Thursdays or any of the earlier trading days are actually really nice and relaxing. You can kind of shop the tables without worrying about leaving your own table. You're in one room, and you know, you can kind of keep an eye on things. But it's one of the maybe few times that you can actually like go around and see what everybody has, especially since Thursday we were in first come, first serve location. So some of these people were in the big room for the rest of the show, and I think a couple of them we might not have seen after that. But then, let's see, Thursday evening was the wine and cheese party.
Yeah, we had some time to go back to the hotel and change before the party, but grab some dinner. But
wine and cheese and some chocolate before the auction, and then the Discovery auction. Nothing that we went home with from the auction, and it was honestly a little disappointing, but a little lower energy than most of the auctions we've seen. We were kind of surprised, like looking around trying to figure out, were people asleep? Were they, like, where was everybody?
Yeah, it was not, I think it may be the first auction in Ohio I've been to where I have not bought a single thing.
Yeah, it was, I mean, there were some nice things to be had for sure, but it was just a little bit lower energy. Mm-hmm. And then we met up with Tim and Mike Beiler, who drove in that night, right? They got in that night?
Yeah, they got in about 15 minutes after the auction started.
Yeah. So they were there for part of it.
They were really hammering all day. Where they had sent us a twist, and I was kind of watching them all day to see if they were going to make it in time for the auction, and they got there just right after it started.
And they were trying to communicate across the ballroom, and we were trying to figure out what they were saying. And yeah, I was lost, but no, always good to see them.
Yeah, absolutely. Those guys are fun.
And then we went back to the hotel and passed out, slept like rocks.
Yeah. Friday morning, good to get up, get some sleep, but we still had some setup to do. Since now we had to expand over, but we had all the ink set up, which is a major thing. So we just had to set up essentially the modern in the paper and things like that. So we had a better day on Friday. Of course, we met up with FP Geek Dan Smith and his wife Keisha, and they got in. I forget what time they got in, but
sometime in the morning
they got in, and promptly. Dan wins a door prize, and I wasn't keeping track of you know, you would hear these announcements, but I wasn't really keeping track of what was going on, and all I heard was Dan Smith, Penn. And he goes and he gets it, and it turns out to be a pink ballpoint.
Hot pink.
Hot pink Hot ballpoint. Pink.
With, I think, a breast cancer logo on the clip.
Yeah, I think so. So, let's see. We bought a bunch of pens. People coming up to the table bought a bunch of pens. And so that was cool. And then right after, pretty much right afterwards, was the pizza party that's put on by Sam and Frank from Pendemonium. And massive. I don't know how many pizzas they had. I don't know if you counted, but there had to have been
40,
50 pizzas.
They get 40. They used to get 50, and now they do 40.
Well, all the pizza was gone. And there were a couple of people that actually straggled in, and you know, you snooze, you lose. Soda and it was great. And then right after. Well, there was a little bit of a break, maybe about a half an hour.
Yeah, we're going to fix that next year. No lag time.
Yeah. PCA meeting right afterwards. So there was more food. There were some really good cookies, big cookies.
Big cookies.
And some coffee. So, you know, maybe you'll talk more about the PCA meeting. Is there anything that...
No, it was the general annual meeting, and we just kind of went over some things that had occurred throughout the year. You know, elections were held, and you know, the website had a couple issues, and the pennants going strong, Paul staying on as editor, all that good stuff.
Awesome.
So,
yeah, so
it was fun.
All in all, Friday was a pretty busy day. We're still trying to get caught up on sleep and I mean, having essentially gotten about 3 or 4 hours of sleep in probably 2 days. So Friday, you know, we're still a little bit tired, but busy day meeting customers. You know, of course, is the best part of the show, meeting the people. So
I don't know. We went to the pen show, and Brian spends at least an hour, a solid hour, and then more. In bits and pieces, talking IT to a customer. It was great.
Ed was great. I mean, it was really, really
Hi, Ed.
Fascinating kind of what we were talking about. I mean, maybe fascinating is a stretch there, but yeah. I mean, it was
fascinating to you guys.
It was refreshing to talk to someone else who knew what, you know, what I do on a daily basis. So yeah.
It was really funny, but I mean, we were just teasing because, you know, yes, when you collect or obsess over one thing like pens, you're often that engaged with something else, and it was just funny that, you know, we drive 550 miles so that Brian can talk about work at the pen show.
Yeah.
But no, it was fascinating, and it was just, you know, really funny. So we had a good time.
So Friday was good, but the day we look forward to pretty much at every show is Saturday. Slamming all day, man. Seriously busy.
Yeah. Brian never even finished his lunch, and we kind of gauge how good a day is from a sales perspective by how late we get to eat lunch. And Brian never even finished his, and I think I ate mine my sandwich over the course of like an hour and a half or something.
Yeah, I think we started late, and I only ate about half of it.
Yeah.
In fact, I never got out into, on Saturday, I never got out into the other room. I never left the room. If there was a slow period, I walked, in fact, at one point I walked across the aisle to talk with the dealer there and bought a pen from him, which was a really nice, wonder if I have it here. I get to show pens now. A really, really nice Swan with a metal cap.
Oh, that's your funky one.
This is the funky one, and I'm not telling what this is. I won't say exactly what this is until Sunday, because I have it on the blog. One of these things does not go together, kind of thing. I literally walked across the aisle, and by the time I had considered buying it, I had to go back because there was more people at the table. So never left the room.
Yeah, it was crazy. More people kept bringing us stuff, and
Yeah. I mean, we bought a bunch more pens and a bunch of nibs. In fact, at one point we had somebody, I don't remember who it was, came up and had a pen he wanted to sell. He brings this up to me. It's an orange Schaefer, red Schaefer. It's a 325 model. Had a little problem with the cap lip. It's got a little bit of a chip out of it. But otherwise, it's nice. It's supposedly sacked up and a nice writer. And I don't know. I just threw a kind of a lowball price in it thinking, well, I don't really want it. But, you never know. And then they said, sure.
I'm at a pen show.
Yeah, I'm at a pen show. And they said yes. And I'm like, well, okay. So I guess I buy it. And bought pens and nibs that day, too. We had a pile, actually.
It's a big pile
because we didn't know where to put them. And normally we bring an extra case that we has room in it, but we had already surpassed the capacity of the case. Yep. And we just had this pile and it just kept growing. It was like cordwood.
This mound. It's awesome.
So we, busy day. And then do we go right after? I think right after we had a drink, in the bar.
Yep. Dan and Keisha went back to the room to their room to relax a little bit. And then they met us because they didn't want to stick around and, cover the tables with us and wait until the last customer. So they went and did a couple things and then they came back and met us for dinner. But we wanted to do it early so that we'd have time to make dinner, the dessert party, and the auction. And not miss anything.
Yeah, Saturday's schedule is actually pretty tight. So you've got about an hour and a half, about an hour and 15 minutes to eat dinner before the dessert starts. And then the dessert, you have about 45 minutes before the auction starts. So what did you have? You had some...
Oh, very yummy tuna steak. It was like peppered on the edges and kind of pan-seared. It was really awesome.
Yeah,
and then on a bed of spinach, I was thrilled.
I'm trying to think what I had, chicken cordon bleu or something like that.
I think so.
Really, really, surprisingly good. I mean, I don't know, and reasonably priced, I thought. So
yeah.
I think everybody was pleased. Those dinner rolls they brought out at the end were just unreal.
Yeah.
Real good. So I'm actually surprised that we picked up from there and went straight to the dessert party and loaded up another plate full of... they had everything, chocolate cake and all sorts of stuff. So,
it's a huge, huge spread and you've got cakes and little pastries and cookies. And just when you realize, oh rats, I should have gotten a piece of that red velvet last piece of chocolate, whatever cake, you keep going down the line toward the coffee and the hot chocolate or whatever they have. And then there's more cake and more pastry. So it's like display and then display. And oh, yummy. Those little cream puffs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yummy.
Well, while you're waiting in line, you just kind of grab one, then you pop it in your mouth, and then you just
keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was good.
But so we loaded up the plates, got into the auction room, got a good spot. For whatever reason, I think you guys switched seats.
Well, it was you and then me and then Dan and then Keisha. And I didn't know if, Keisha may not know everybody or she may not know why some things are going so high or why the bidding stalled or, so I figured I'd sit with her and walk her through some of that. And this way you and Dan could talk pens and I could still be next to Dan. I mean, the whole point was to bring Dan to Columbus.
Right. Well, I'm not certain that was a...
What?
Well, it kind of worked against us there for a little bit because...
What are you saying?
Well, at some point I didn't see... During an auction, I focus. I mean, if there's something I'm interested in, man, it's like tunnel vision. I'm looking up at Terry, and he's a good auctioneer.
Yep, keeps it moving.
Yeah, he keeps it moving, but I'm looking up there, and I don't see you. Now you're too, and I'm trying to talk to you. Hey, should we get this, and should we bid on this?
Right. do you want this or?
And then so all of a sudden, we'll just show the listeners kind of what happened. and this happened more than two, three times.
Yeah.
This happens.
We saved our number from the Thursday auction, and we had the same number for the Saturday auction. So I figured, okay, we'll just bring both. And, you know, so they started calling us 1A and 1B.
Yeah, it was 1A.
Why are you A?
I don't know. Because I was on the aisle, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know.
But in fact, we almost accidentally won. We confused them enough that there was a Jade Aiken Lambert lever filler, which was the short, fat version of that pen. And we were both bidding on it. And then I dropped out because I didn't want it that bad. No, you actually continued there for a little bit, I thought. And then there was somebody behind us that was bidding. And then the bidding ended. And he said, okay, the bidder auction goes to number one. I'm like, I look over at Lisa and I'm like, did we win that? I didn't really mean to win that, but
no, and I hadn't bid that last bid either. And so they realized that the guy behind us had the final bid. I think they were just like expecting us to both bid. So yeah.
Well, I think Terry also knows that you know, I do collect Aiken Lambert, and
yeah.
if there's an Aiken in the auction, usually I'm bidding on it. So that's a little bit out of my Aiken focus, but
It was funny.
We did come home with three pens during the auction. One of them was an accidental win.
Which one was that?
That was the Vacumatic. It's a 1937 Vac double jewel with a reticulated section or barrel.
There are worse accidents that have happened.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on it. I'm like, it's $50. Come on, people. And nobody bid higher. And
Awesome. And
Terry's looking around the room. He's trying to get a $60 bid. And I'm just kind of laughing. And Mike Kirk is over to my right. And I'm laughing. And he looks at me and goes, should I make it 55 to get you out of this? You know, he's looking for it. I'm like, no, that's cool. You know, so we got that. And then the big win, I guess, of the evening that I was after.
Was
this guy right here. And there was some heated bidding on this. Gary Garner and I, if it wouldn't have been for Gary, we'd have probably got this for a pretty reasonable price. But Gary wanted this. I think there were some other people that were bidding on it. But this here is a modeled hard rubber. It's a dip pen. And it's got its own, essentially its own traveling case. But it's got a really large Joseph Monaghan New York number 5 nib, and on the cap, you can't see it, but on the cap is stamped, has an imprint for Goodyear's patent of 1851, which if you look up the patent, relates to the process of manufacturing rubber in a form that makes it hard. So I don't know what the date is on this little guy here, but I don't really care, I guess. I mean, I do care.
wow.
But it's beautiful. You can just see the high majority of red that's in the guy. So we got that one. And then shortly after, I think people were sleeping because I picked up this guy here, which is it's another modeled hard rubber. It's very dark. But check out this, check out those threads. If you can see how the barrel tapers in towards the threads. It's an unmarked pen, and it's got some bite marks on the section, but there's no cracks, nothing. I mean, people were asleep.
Bites a pen section.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, seriously, think about that for a second. Who bites a pen section?
I don't know. Maybe they're really hungry. I don't know. But nice little pen, unmarked, beautiful modeling on it. And I got it for a $40 bid. So okay. I was good with that. So that was the Saturday auction. We came out winners. Let's see what else. I guess during the day, I guess, you know, we tallied the numbers, and Ink was the big big seller of the day, I guess. We had people playing with Ink most of the yeah. show. My Delta Fusion got a lot of attention.
Oh yeah, everybody, a lot of attention.
Yeah, everybody I showed it to loved it.
Secretly, I think that Brian was nervous that somebody was going to make him an offer he couldn't refuse, and we might sell it, or I might sell his pen. And ended up selling my Twisby Smoke 540 to a customer. We didn't have any more just like it, and he really, 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 really wanted it. So yeah. He went home with my pen.
Saturday there was a door prize. This is awesome.
This is probably one of my favorite stories from the show.
It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe.
Something like that.
And, you know, like I say, you kind of hear stuff, but you don't. I mean, you know, you're dealing with customers and, you know, just people lined up and you're having a good time. And he announced it. And we can't sign up for these drawings anyway, so I'm really not paying attention. And I hear, Dan Smith, winner. And
Again.
And it's the main door prize, which was the Bexley pen.
Really nice
and,
pen.
Yeah, and, you know, so we're clapping and...
And kind of freaking out a little bit. I mean, you know, here we are. We brought Dan to Columbus. We've been telling him what a great show this is. And you've got the two auctions and you've got these awesome door prizes every day. And it's busy and he can hang with his fans. And, you know, just it's such a great atmosphere. And he wins two door prizes.
Right, but... Here's the catch. He's out playing tourist with Tim Hoffman, and they're visiting an antique store that had some pens there, and he missed it.
You had to be present to win.
Yeah.
Oops. he actually didn't believe us when we told it when he came back, because actually they called. They waited and waited. Then they called somebody else. Then they called somebody else. And they called somebody else because you had to be present to win. And finally...
It was like three or four people.
Four or five.
Yeah.
So if you stick around long enough, it works to your advantage. but after the hilarity of the prize he won on Friday, he didn't believe us. I mean, he totally did not believe us. He thought we were still, you know, kind of teasing him about the hot pink pen. And I actually had to take him up to Terry's son, Matt Mahorder, to verify that I was telling the truth. I wasn't BSing him. And he was, I don't even know the word, shocked and definitely disappointed that he missed out on this awesome Bexley pen. I mean, he had a good time with Tim, but what are the odds of winning a door prize two days in a row? Told you it was a great show.
Yeah, so that was that was something else. I couldn't believe it.
It was crazy.
That was Saturday. Sunday, the first thing I did on Sunday was, the last thing I did before we left on Saturday is I was looking over at Rich Lott's table. And boy.
Drooling.
Yeah, you can find all sorts of gems in there, but you got to look. You know, and he doesn't have a whole lot of, there's not a lot of complete pens, but every once in a while you find one, you look at it and you go, boy, this thing seems out of place. And so I saw this pen on there Saturday night and I thought, well, I'm going to wait and see what happens at the auction. And, so first thing Sunday morning I go and I'm like, I'm going to go grab this pen. I couldn't resist.
I don't remember what you got.
It's this guy here.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's a pretty one.
It's a screw cap Wurt eyedropper.
And it has a nib for once. You always buy the pens without the nibs. How cool is that?
So, I mean, it's nice condition. It's very black. It's got these two little gold bands on there. It's kind of a demi-sized pen, like maybe a Waterman 12 and a half, something along in that range. But a really nice clean pen and very affordable Wurt. So I grabbed that right away. And then I realized all weekend, Bruce Mindrup had been having these plating demos at his table, and I hadn't yet gotten a chance to get over there. And I think he actually, did he come up to you at one point and say, hey, make sure Brian gets over here, or we had expressed interest?
I asked him when you were going to be doing it so that maybe we could get it done earlier in the morning in case it got busy later. It doesn't usually, but, you know. just so that you wouldn't miss it, because I know you really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And Bruce is so good at it.
He's done this at some other shows, and man, it was really a fascinating demonstration. I'm totally stoked. I'm excited to get started on this, a part of a new restoration technique. But in fact, we did, I brought over a Parker Stripe dual fold that I had purchased just on, I think it was Friday, that had some brassing on the cap band. And boy, once we were done with it, that thing was really
beautiful,
really nice. So we've got that to look forward to. I just need to catch up here so I can order the supplies. But Sunday was another busy day, unusually so.
Yeah.
We depend on Sundays. They're considerably slower in the mornings. Gives us a chance to reorganize, restock, relax, kind of clean things up.
Eat breakfast.
Yeah.
Although I did cheat. I had a PCA meeting in the morning. Brian got to sleep in a little.
I didn't really get to sleep in.
Well, you didn't have to leave as early as I did, but yeah. I managed to have the uber yummy breakfast buffet in the hotel.
Oh, you had the buffet?
No.
Oh! You're killing me. You're killing me. You didn't tell me that.
Well, of course I'm not going to tell you that you had a muffin and scrambled eggs and bacon and sausage and fruit and
crappy coffee.
Yummy coffee.
Cold muffin in the hotel room, and you're eating like a queen.
It was a meeting. I had to go. It was, hey, we had to do like elections and like important board stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, I like eggs in the morning. So anyway,
along.
Sunday. Usually Sundays are sort of like Thursdays. You can shop other dealers' tables. You can, finagle those last minute deals. And it's usually pretty, pretty relaxed. But we missed out on that. I don't think we got into the big room except for, a brief minute here and there to pick something up or drop something off.
Yeah, I made it over there just a couple times. I know I went over to talk with Brian Gray and to pick up the Stylus Annual, talk with Joel Hamilton for about 10 minutes, and then that was it. So,
but it was fun. We had a couple cool things pop up on Sunday.
So here's why you need to go to shows. And you hear about these stories and
happen to you.
Every once in a while, they happen to us, and it's awesome. And this is another reason why we like to stay till the absolute bitter end, because you just never know. You don't know who's going to walk through that door. You don't know if they're going to, what they're going to buy,
or if they're going to sell you something.
Yeah, and so this guy comes in, and he's a tall guy. He must have been, 6'2", big dude, and he's all huffing and puffing. He says, I just saw the ad in the paper, or he saw the ad somewhere. I think he said in the paper. And this was about 4:30, I think.
Yeah.
And the show ends at 5.
And a lot of people had already packed up and had left.
Yeah.
Or were in the process of, packing up and.
Yeah. Now, if you got to catch a plane, that's absolutely no big deal. I had to get to work Monday morning, but, I'm still reasonably young, so I can put up with 2 hours of sleep. But 4:30 comes, and this guy, he's like rushing to the table. He says, "Do you buy pens?" He says, I just saw this a half an hour ago, and I wanted to come in. And no joke, the guy's got, it's too bad we didn't have room. We should have saved it. It's a cigar box about this big.
It's about, 9 inches square? It was big.
It's not your typical cigar box. It was like three of those high.
Yeah.
And he sets it down on the table. And, it's either going to be just total junk, or there's going to be some gem in there. I mean, it just.
An Aztec.
Yeah. Well,
Did we get an Aztec? It's my Christmas present.
We didn't get an Aztec. No, sorry. You hear stories about the cigar box full of pens, and here it is. And he opens it up, and he's like, well, before he opens it up, he tells me, I've got a Conklin, and I've got a Schaefer, and I'm like, okay, awesome. Open the lid already, And sure enough, there must have been, I didn't count.
20?
20 or probably 30 pens in this box.
Yep.
He's got a Conklin Endura, the short, but it's orange. It's perfect. This one I snagged for myself.
Of course.
Look at this bad boy here. Big, chunky, black hard rubber dip pen holder with the John Holland number 8 nib. Ooh. Nice, nice pen. yeah, I know you're totally excited. There was a Waterman 14, a Waterman 52.
Do I get that one?
Well, it needs some work. Harumph, yeah. There were some Esterbrook icicles, green icicles, a bunch of Esterbrooks, Parker 45 fountain pen, ballpoint, and mechanical pencil set in a cool turquoise. There was another chased hard rubber Eagle pencil that Jonathan Velli snatched out of my hands.
Yeah, he's dangerous, man. If there's a pencil around, you just watch yourself. He's just going to grab it.
What else? There was another eyedropper in there, a whole bunch of stuff. And I couldn't believe it. And I'm sure there's something in there that I'm missing. I'm looking at the bag here, but yeah, so we came to terms and, I bought the box. He gave me the box with it, but, I didn't really want it.
No, we didn't keep that, but Brian was doing his happy dance.
Yeah. So, awesome deal. And, just to give you an idea now, and this does not include, probably these are all the pens we bought at the show. And I think there's about another 8 or 9 that are not in here, but you know,
that's just not bad.
A big, big old bag of pens.
Of pens you need to repair. No, some of them are really cool.
No, some were pretty nice. So
yeah,
that was really exciting, and to go through that and to get it at a very, very reasonable price was nice too. So
yep.
So that was kind of Sunday. It was just kind of it kind of flew by real quick. Took forever to pack up for some reason. Ugh. I know it's probably the week probably caught up with us because this is a long show.
Yeah, four full days.
Yeah, so, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about some of the people, and we're gonna apologize in advance because I'm sure we're gonna miss somebody. Mike Kirk, of course, from Wixom, fellow Appleton Pen Club member, was there showing off some stuff. He won some jotters in the auction. I got a chance to take a look at them; they're pretty cool. Martin Ferguson. Bruce Mindrup, of course, Ray Okanowski, his partner in crime, Sam, they sit next to each other, funniest guys, Sam and Frank Fiorella from Pendemonium, of course, were there, Rich Lott across the table.
That was dangerous.
Yeah, well, you know, if you got 5 minutes to spare, you can walk over there and buy something from him.
Yep.
Sam Millardo was in the little room with us, and man, he had some killer pens. Kim Solson was next to us, and she's no slouch herself, man. She's got some amazing, amazing overlays.
She helped me out with some Christmas shopping.
I love that woman. Mike and Linda Kennedy, Joel Hamilton, Cheryl Tyree.
There's a bad joke in there somewhere.
There is. I don't know.
Because she's the presidential assistant, so my husband loves my secretary. Wait, that's bad.
Joel Hamilton, Cheryl Tyree, of course, Brian and Andrea, and later Andrew Gray from Edison Pens.
Oh, he
Pens.
Was a blast.
Yeah, he was. He's always well behaved. Let's see, who else was there? Roger Cromwell, our good friend from Minnesota, Francis Babullion, was there. Always has the finest pens. Always a gentleman.
And good the to snappiest see him. Dresser.
Yes, absolutely. Pete Kirby was there, Don Lavin and Dan Zazoff, Pendleton Brown. I only saw him at the auction Saturday night.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing him. You know, my head was down most of the time, the rest of the week anyway. So Pendleton Brown was there.
He was busy most of the time looked over.
Yeah. So yeah.
He's such a funny guy. Yep.
Yep.
Let's see. Will Beasley.
Yep.
Who... was next to us at our first show together in 2009. So it's always fun to see Will, and he's always shocked every time he sees us. We have more and more and more tables. Don Castle, who we had just seen in Detroit just a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Jimmy Dolev, you got to love a guy with a Southern accent. He's just so sweet. Ron Zorn was there. He's the PCA vice president now. So if you see Ron or if you email him, tell him congrats. Bert Ozer, of course. And so we solidified our commitment to go to all four of Bert's shows this year.
Awesome.
So, yep. Mario Campa and my girl crush Angelica from Toys from the Attic. Sorry, Shannon. We're good. I have a couple lady pen people who I just love to see. And Shannon Padilla down in Little Rock and Angelica. It's just awesome to see them. Let's see. Stuart Hawkinson always has really cool tools. And Brian just comes back holding these big chunks of metal. And, oh, look what I got. I don't know what they do, but if it makes him happy, I'm good with that. Dale Beebe, always good to see him. Gary Garner was batching it this weekend without Anne. So he was a little out of sorts because usually, you know, Anne will take care of him. And I think I blame Anne for costing us money because she didn't control Gary at the auction like she normally does.
So. Yeah, I'm going to have words with her when I see her next.
You do that. let's see. Rob Bader had the funniest sign. Man. What did it say?
It was, he had two of them. And one of them was, Rob Bader approves this message. Something about, you should sell your pens to Rob and stuff like that. It was a little bit of a twist on the recent election
vote
thing.
For Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's always a trip. It was good to see Bill and Nadia Weekly. I just love talking to her. John Veely and Joe Nemechek, the pencil guys.
Yep.
So it was a good time.
So, I thought it might be interesting. We'll go real quick and look over the wish list and let's just see how we did. Kind of as a little scorecard here. Now, unfortunately, I can't seem to find the auction results from Thursday, but on my list was a 450 Waterman 454 Modern, the day and night overlay. There were two in the auction on Thursday night. One of them had a bad crack in the cap and was missing the lever, so it was really kind of a parts pen. The other one that was in the auction was very nice, and I want to say it didn't hit $500, which was very surprising.
Yep.
Did not get it, so didn't expect to. I knew they're pricey pens, and I wasn't going to make that my only pen. Aiken Lambert Safety, nope, zip, not one there that I found. We'll just keep that on the list till I find one. John Holland saddle filler. I did see a couple. Sam Millardo had one. A huge, huge, huge pen. Probably number 5 size nib, although John Holland nib sizes are a little off. But it was a big pen. Later screw cap, but it was missing the nib. So, saw a couple. Did not get any. Taper cap eyedropper was on the list. There was a Lachlan in the Thursday night auction I was going to bid on, but when I went to go see it, it was missing the bottom barrel band, and the Lachlan barrel bands are very unique. Essentially, I would never, ever, 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 ever find one. So I decided to pass on that one. Wirt was on the list, so ta-da! There we go. We did complete one item on the list. And another modeled hard rubber Wirt eyedropper, or another modeled hard rubber eyedropper, which we did get in the auction as well. So that was on my list. And yours?
I didn't really look. we saw a couple ladies' script certs, a trio in the in one of the auctions. Mm-hmm. I had them. I didn't even see an Aurora 75th anniversary. I think you did.
There was one. Yeah, there was one. Yeah,
I'm cheap. I admit it. I'll probably never buy one because I'll never spend the money that they deserve. Mm-hmm. But usually I'll stand there and drool over them. I figure if I drool on it enough, it might, you know, make the price cheaper or something. But I didn't. I didn't see any DuPonts, but I really didn't look. Mont Blancs, I didn't look all that much. There was one in the auction, but
yeah, I should have. I was bidding on it, and it was a set. It was a 121, and it had this super broad nib.
Yeah, forget
broad
that.
Stub nib. And I stopped, and of course, it only went $10 higher than my high bid.
Yeah, but with a broad nib, I'm not going to use it. So what's the point?
Well, I would have bought it for myself.
What? What?
I should have bought it anyway.
Vintage Pelican. I saw a couple, but you know, again, I really didn't look all that much. We didn't really have time to look.
Yeah, no. I felt guilty whenever I went into the other room because I knew I had to hustle it.
Yeah.
And get back to the table. So I mean, I would be out for 10 minutes, and then Lisa'd be calling me on the phone.
I mean, like, I need your Twisby.
Yeah, get your butt over here. I guess someone wants to try your Twisby.
Something.
I guess, you know, we did all right.
Had a great time.
Yep. So, I guess it was our second best show of the year, out of 8.
And it was close to home. You gotta love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Got home about, what time did we get home? 2:45.
Yeah, we got to sleep for a couple hours. That was nice.
Yeah, I got about 2.5-3 hours of sleep before I had to get up and go back to work. So, but anyway, we're finally getting caught up on that. So, good show. I absolutely recommend going if it's in the vicinity. Even, you know, we drive 9 hours. It's totally worth it. Beilers drove 12. You know,
and Keisha drove.
They had about a 12-hour drive too. So, totally worth it. The room rates in the area are pretty reasonable. So. That's Ohio for 2012. Real quick, don't forget contest just before the winter holidays.
Oh yeah, this is big.
For now until Saturday, December 15th, we're going to be accepting entries for a holiday giveaway to be drawn on our podcast Sunday, December 16th. We've received a few entries already, and they've been a blast to open. So, including one with a little.
A little limerick or poem
or something in it. That was cute. So,
and what was the first one? Something was like incredibly funny.
We got a Hanukkah card. We got one with polar bears on it.
Or something written in one of the first ones.
I can't remember what it was.
Oh, it was something about make my Christmas great or something. I hope you have a good holiday season and I hope you make mine even better by winning the prize or something. It was really cute. So. We do and really, really enjoy opening, even if it's just a card with your name, we really do have a lot of fun with it. Yep. So, for the giveaway, you receive a Twisby Vac 700,
yep.
Your choice of sapphire, amber, or smoke, and whatever available nib we've got that you want. Right now, we still have all of them. A bottle of Schaefer Green Ink. And a bottle of Pelican 4001 Red Ink for the holiday cards and all that. It's about $100 value. Please send in a winter holiday-themed submission. So no Valentine's Day cards, no birthday cards, some kind of a winter holiday theme. Even just a sleigh, you know, through the snow or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
One entry per person. You know who you are. Send your entry to...
Anderson Penn's Holiday Giveaway, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Beautiful.
So, anything else?
No, I think we've done enough damage having people drool over the show.
comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Penn's P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or catch us online.
Email is brian@andersonpenns.net.
or lisa@andersonpens.net.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/andersonpens.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/andersonpens.
On the web, of course, andersonpens.net.
And check out our blog, andersonpens.net/blog.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We're going to see you again in a couple days on Sunday.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.